A blessed Good Friday to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I hope that you are doing well today. It's Good Friday, so we're going to do something a little different for our program. We'll have a little devotional, and then we'll have the privilege of listening to a meditation from a Good Friday service. Before we get started, though, if you're listening to this program on Friday, or really any time during Holy Week, I want to encourage you to come out to church. You can never get enough of the Word of God, but this podcast isn't a church service, or a substitute for one. There are so many good blessings that God wants to give you at His house, but if you're not there, you're missing out. I know that there are some that listen to this program who can't get out, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, but if you can, I can't encourage you strongly enough to get out, brave the cold a little bit, and come to church. We have services today, Good Friday, March 27th, 2024, at 6:30 p.m. at our campus located at 2220 Ann Street in Bemidji, Minnesota. And of course, if you're listening to this podcast later on, we have Easter services at 7 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. and a free breakfast in between. I'd love to see you there. Our reading for today comes to us from Mark chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. Many people spread their garments on the road. Others spread branches that they had cut from the fields. Those who went in front and those who followed were crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." This is the word of the Lord. As Jesus entered Jerusalem, the crowds were excited. They were filled with enthusiasm. They were filled with joy. They were filled with hope. It's why they were crying out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Since their king was entering Jerusalem, they were optimistic for their future. But 5 days later, do you think that optimism remained? We see a different scene today. We see a parade. But there isn't a king riding on the donkey. Instead, there is a criminal carrying a cross. And we see people lining the streets, but they aren't shouting, "Hosanna." Instead, they are shouting, "Crucify him!" And our king doesn't look joyous. Instead, we hardly recognize him. He is beaten, bloodied, and bruised. He is hanging on a cross. He is gasping for air. He is bowing his head and giving up his spirit. So it would have been very easy for the people to lose all the optimism they had just had 5 days earlier. But I pray that doesn't happen to you. I pray that you remain optimistic. Know this: your king entered Jerusalem to die. He entered Jerusalem to be beaten and whipped by his enemies. He entered Jerusalem to be nailed to a cross. He entered Jerusalem to bow his head and give up his spirit. There was only one way your king could save you and win for you all the forgiveness of your sins, and that was by dying in your place. God is clear. He declares that those who sin will die, and God can't lie. So someone had to die for the sins you committed. But instead of forcing you to die for your own sins, your king entered Jerusalem to die in your place so you can be spared from death and live forever. So today, even as we see our king being crucified on a cross, we can't help but be optimistic. We can't help but be filled with excitement, enthusiasm, and hope. Our king is finally doing what he was sent into the world to do. He is dying in our place to save us. We pray together. Enter my heart, O King, and wash me in the blood you shed for me, so I may be forgiven of all my sins. Amen. Our meditation for today comes to us from St. John's Church in Woodlake, Minnesota. Pastor Cowie will expound on the Word of God for us this evening.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in Jesus Christ. You and me and roughly 2.4 billion people in this world. Nearly one-third of this world's population claim to believe in Jesus Christ, that is, to be a Christian. But I'm afraid that, unfortunately, the reality of this day and the truths of the second article of the Creed probably shrink that number significantly. Because the Jesus of Good Friday and the Jesus of the second article of the Creed is not a generic Jesus. It's not a milquetoast buddy Jesus. It's not Jesus loves me, this I know, and this is all I want to know. Good Friday won't allow that. Yes, Jesus loves you. But when we stand here at the foot of the cross, we see who this Jesus really is and what this Jesus really did and what he has made of us. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. And we ask, what does this mean? I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord. And just like that, the numbers start to shrink. Because this Jesus is God, and this Jesus is man. God from all eternity, true God from true God, begotten, not made. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. He is the creator, not a creature. And yet at the very same time, he is a true and real human being, not part man, part God, 100% true God, 100% true man. And the proof of this, you might say, was standing there at Jesus' feet when he was crucified. His mother Mary, the vessel in which Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, told by the angel that the Holy One to be born was the Son of God. Her virgin birth ensured that Jesus had no earthly father, but was most definitely a real human son of his mother. The same body that entered human life through her body now ends his human life there on the cross. She was there, listening anxiously for his first breath. And she was there, listening anxiously for his last. She was there when the blood was shed at 8 days old in the temple, and there to watch his blood pour from his head and his back, from his hands and feet. This Jesus, this real God-man, is the Jesus of Good Friday. The one who suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Jesus, true man and true God. Do you understand what this means? It means that God shed blood, that God died. But what? What does this mean? Few words ever written say it so clearly as this. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person, purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. The Creator dies to save his creatures. An innocent one dies for ones who are condemned. Condemned and enslaved by sin and by death and by the devil himself. But who's that? Not me. Can't be me. Not me. I'm not lost. Well, not that lost. Not that much of a sinner. Not perfect, but it's not like I've killed anyone or I don't beat my kids and I don't even kick the cat. But if you think that, dear ones, then you have no need to waste your time here. Because Jesus didn't die for pretty good people. He didn't bleed out for those who can wiggle out of their wrongs on their own. Only for lost and condemned creatures. Only for people who will one day die as a result of sin. And that is me. It is me whom Christ has redeemed, bought, paid the price. A price that is set not by supply and demand, but by worth and cost. No amount of silver or gold could suffice. Only blood, only death, only hell. But that's also the very price that Jesus was willing to pay. Not just because he had it, but because that's how much it was worth to him. And all of this he did that I should be his own and live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. You see, either I am my own, or I am his. If I belong to me, then so do my sins, and so does my death and my hell. But because of this day, because of what Jesus accomplished here, you belong to him. Paul Gerhardt teaches us to sing it most beautifully. Your cords of love, my Savior, bind me to you forever. I am no longer mine. To you I gladly tender all that my life can render, and all I have to you resign. How much of you was purchased by his blood? How much of your life was redeemed by Jesus' agony during this afternoon? Was it just your Good Fridays? Just your Christmases and Easters? Just about an hour's worth on a Sunday morning? Or less? I don't think so. If I somehow imagine that Jesus has only purchased part of me, and therefore only part of me and my life belongs to him. If less of my life belongs to him, it is because I believe he is less of a Savior than he really is. And if I think that, then you might as well add my name to the list of millions who are Christians in name only. But he has redeemed me, all of me, all my time, all my body, all my soul. St. Paul writes, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again." He died so that we might live. And just as he lives, we also live. We live under him. And we serve him, serving others as he himself has served us. We live and serve under him when we serve our own neighbors in our callings. But there's even more to Jesus' kingdom. Isn't it the great irony of Good Friday that Pontius Pilate was actually right in saying that Jesus was a king? All the signs pointed to it. The sign above the cross, the crown he wore, the purple robe. But just as it was shepherds who came to see Jesus as a baby in the manger, it was a thief who recognized Jesus as king on the cross, asking to be remembered when Jesus came into his kingdom. But he got so much more than he asked: to be with Jesus in paradise. That's what Good Friday is about. That's what this Jesus is about. And to those who believe in this Jesus, in the God-man who paid the price of his life to ransom condemned creatures, they are now his own and live under him in an everlasting kingdom. And even when they too finally follow Jesus also in this, that just as Jesus breathes his last and commits his spirit to the Father, when you follow him, and you too finally breathe your last, it is this Jesus, and only this Jesus, who will welcome you into the paradise he has prepared for you. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and his Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.